Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto your website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. Our Town profiles people from all walks of life, from firefighters to foodies, from bus drivers to baristas, and even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. Port Townsend isn't big enough to be home to any large businesses, but that doesn't mean we don't have our fair share of entrepreneurs. You know, the kind of people who basically create their own jobs. They create successful businesses. They spot a niche, and sure enough, they fill that niche. My guest today is a guy who created what is now a thriving business. John Paul Davies was just a young guy trying to figure out the world when he and his wife moved to Port Townsend back in the early 90s. Today, he's a hands-on owner of a thriving business, Key City Fish. So welcome to the show, John Paul.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Marianne.
I always start the show by asking people if they're local, born and bred on the Olympic Peninsula. I guess I gave that away by saying you and your wife moved here. So where did you come from?
We came to Port Townsend essentially from New York City. In my younger days, I did a fair amount of traveling. I was born in California, yes.
Okay, what about high school? I always like to ask about people's high school. Who were you at that critical point in your life?
Well, I was in San Jose, California, okay. And I was a suburban troubled teen, okay. Would be who I was in high school.
Were you one of those kids who had it all figured out? You knew exactly where you were heading and what you were going to do?
On and off, I certainly imagined I was, but in the end, no, I was not.
Well, in your home environment, did your folks sort of expect that you and your siblings would go on to college?
Absolutely. We were definitely herded quite aggressively towards universities.
What did your folks do, by the way?
My father was a nuclear engineer for General Electric, and my mom was a teacher, physical ed, English as a second language, and then she ended up running a little CPR business where she taught people CPR.
Okay. And did any of their professions click with you? Did you want to follow in the footsteps of family?
No.
But you enrolled in university.
I certainly did, yes.
And did you have any part-time or summer jobs?
I did, actually. In my younger years, I was a lifeguard and swim instructor. Mm-hmm. And so I did that, you know, before I went to college. And then in between a couple of years of college, I would teach kids how to swim and make sure they didn't drown in City of San Jose swimming pools.
And did you stay in San Jose?
No. So I originally went to college in Arcata, California, to Humboldt State University, as it was mm-hmm. called at the time. And then I would come back to San Jose in the summers. So that was my San Jose relationship for the most part.
And did you graduate?
I did not graduate from Humboldt State. And so I ended out taking a leave of absence. And then a friend of mine and myself went to Mexico for about 6 months. Nice. Traveled all over the country and, you know, became semi-proficient in the Spanish language. And then when I returned, I lived in San Jose briefly working at a wire warehouse that provided electrical wire to various different institutions. And then from there, moved up to the Northwest to Seattle.
And at some point, weren't you fishing in Alaska?
That's why I moved up to Seattle. My brother had actually worked in Alaska for a season, and he kind of put me in contact with that group, and then I proceeded to go up to Alaska that spring.
And so your fascination with fish began with fishing in Alaska, or what's the connection?
I would say the fascination with fish started on a family holiday to Santa Barbara, where we went charter fishing. My father took his kids. I've got two siblings, a brother and a sister. He took us charter fishing, and you know, we were dropping our poles and catching mostly, you know, rockfish of various different species. And as we were hauling in, you know, 3 and 4 fish at the same time with multiple hooks, I looked around and I asked the captain, "Where's my dad?" and he informed me my dad was in the bathroom where he spent the entire charter fishing trip.
I'm not sure he would have wanted you to share that, but...
Well, at this point, it would be my late father, so yes, R.I.P. John Davies.
Okay, okay. But you also worked in a fish store pretty soon after that era.
I did. So I went up to Alaska, and I participated in salmon fishing and salmon tendering. Actually took a boat up from Seattle to the herring fishery in Togiak and fished in a couple of areas. Good News Bay, I tendered, which was kind of a small native community fishing area. And then I also fished in Chignik, which was also a native community, but was a very prolific and successful fishery, kind of more big time. And then when I returned to Seattle, I re-enrolled in college at the University of Washington, and then I got a part-time job working for University Seafood and Poultry, which was an institution in the U District that just recently went out of business, actually.
So did you graduate from UW?
I did. I graduated with a degree in history from the University of Washington.
Very useful degree.
Absolutely, yes. I proceeded to put it to excellent use.
And so when you were done with school and going to work full-time, presumably, what did you do first?
So I first thought, well, I'd done my stint at the fish store, and then I got a job with a paint contractor painting homes in a neighborhood in Seattle called Laurelhurst, which is a pretty fancy neighborhood on Lake Washington. And so I spent a summer, maybe into the fall, doing that job, and then decided I liked the fish business better, and I got myself a job at the Pike Place Market at a establishment called Pure Food Fish.
So were you one of those guys who threw the fish in the air?
We did some throwing fish in the air, and we, you know, yeah, we kind of did the, you know, fresh fish.
Okay.
Who's next?
Okay, how did you end up in New York?
So then we at the University of Washington, I met my partner, Aaron Lamb. We got married and proceeded to get pregnant and have a child. And so we were, you know, young and restless and, you know, interested in the world. And she had some connections in New York. So we just got it in our minds that, you know, that would be a great place to go. And so we, middle of the winter, we got a rental truck, loaded all our stuff in it, including our six-month-old son, and drove across America in the snow. It was really rather beautiful, actually.
Adventure, for sure. And so what did you do in New York?
In New York, originally I kind of went thinking Aaron's father at the time was kind of involved in freelance artwork and stuff like that. And so I got a job, a part-time job with a guy, photographer assistant. I helped another guy who was an Italian journalist, you know, redo his apartment, kind of going back into the painting thing. But eventually I ended out rolling back into seafood market, and I got a job in the West Village at a market called the Jefferson Market. You know, we're working their seafood counter.
Okay. And why did you decide to leave Manhattan?
We decided to leave Manhattan partly because Aaron's father was returning and he wanted his rent-controlled apartment back.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
And so as we were tumbling around wondering where to go next, Aaron, my partner, felt that the Northwest was more conducive as our son was, you know, kind of growing into toddlerhood or past toddlerhood. And we thought this would be a better area for raising children. So,
how did you end up in Port Townsend? A key question.
Well, when we moved back to the Northwest, we moved into an ADU that was in the backyard of her sister's house down in Indianola, which is not too far from here, but in Kitsap County. And I was going to get my job back at the Pike Place Market, and I started working there part-time. Bumped into an opportunity here in Port Townsend to open a retail store for New Day Fisheries, which was an established seafood company here in town at that time.
Okay, so you opened a retail store, you call it, but I believe it was more like a tent, right?
It was a retail tent, but, and again, New Day Fisheries was doing an awful lot, had a lot of different fish available for sale, and my job was to present them to the Port Townsend community, and I just, you know, used my retail background to make that happen, and it ended up being very successful.
Great. So what happened?
Well, the New Day Fisheries was involved in much more than just this retail outlet, and things did not go so well that year. And as things started to fall off in the tent when it was, you know, 32 degrees outside and raining, you know, the customers kind of didn't come in at the same kind of clip that they were all summer long. And I got laid off. That's what happened
and
with
so
that
then
job.
You had to do something else. And what did you do?
Well, I took my experience there and I thought, you know what, I'll just open up my own little retail store. And then I proceeded to do so that very spring, opening Key City Fish in its original location, which was downtown around the corner towards the ferry dock from Don's Pharmacy in that complex downtown.
Now, you told me the other day that from the beginning you had some restaurants as customers, but you didn't exactly have a fleet of trucks back then. I believe you mentioned something about a tricycle.
I did. So back in the day, so I opened the Key City Fish Company as the sole employee, you know, purchasing products from the area and having them trucked directly to me. And then I got hit up by local restaurants, you know, that would run out of products or just be interested in the products that I had for sale and excited to do business with me because it's such a supportive town and was back then as well. Then my brother had the bright idea, because back in New York City, we used to deliver in the West Village groceries, and we had a fleet of commercial tricycles that, you know, we would bicycle to various different apartment buildings, which was very efficient in New York in that neighborhood. And so I had shared that with my brother. He bought me a tricycle he found at a garage sale. And so to make a delivery, I used to just close up the shop and put a sign out front, said, be back in 15, and I would put a box on the back of the tricycle and ride on over to what was called the Public House at that time, or the Silverwater Cafe, was in a different location.
Very but efficient.
Yes. And so, we did that for a number of years.
Now, some point, Key City also had a small outlet inside Aldrich's. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, it certainly did. And so as business started to grow, I got the opportunity to purchase Tom's Meat Market, which in the Aldridge's Market, before it burned down, it was being run by John Kleiss and Pam Kleiss. They had each department, rented out to independent purveyors. And so there was a meat market that Tom owned, which was a fantastic meat market. He also did, you know, a lot of smoked product, made his own sausages, had a lot of sort of lifelong butcher skills. So when I did purchase that meat market from him, he kind of taught me the meat business and then also gave me the distributorship of his sausage recipes, which he moved on and started producing his sausage recipes in some larger USDA facilities in Seattle. So we've been selling Tom's sausages to Waterfront Pizza for probably 25 years, and he was probably doing it 10 years before that. So
wow.
They are still doing the same sausage recipes.
Great. And so how long were you in Aldrich's till it burned down? No,
I wasn't there that long. And so we got the space that we're in now down in the port. And the idea at the time was we'd have the meat market at Aldrich's. We'd have the seafood and poultry market downtown at the Don's Pharmacy complex. And we'd have at the warehouse, which was more, you know, going to be sort of our wholesale storage facility, because our retail shops just weren't able to deal with the amount of products that we were at that point starting to bring in. I quickly got a business lesson in, you know, multiple locations turns into multiple problems and many more employees required, and it just didn't pencil out. And so we ended out closing down the downtown market and the Aldrich's Market and moving everything into our port
consolidated,
yep.
So did you by that point have a fleet of tricycles or did you move on to something else?
Well, no. Along before the warehouse, one of the reasons we were, you know, able to bring in more products is we purchased a couple of refrigerated trucks. And that was the beginning of the end of the tricycle deliveries, as was the port location, where suddenly it was a little bit of a longer bike ride to get downtown and make that happen. So So then we rode it in the roadie parade for a number of years until finally the tricycle sort of gave up the ghost.
Well, it served its purpose, I think.
It certainly did, yes.
Surprised you don't have it mounted on the top of the building.
I kind of wish I did do that, but...
Okay, now... Just very briefly, I know at one point you did sort of foray into the restaurant business. Can you give us a little recap of that?
Well, yes, I can. At the time, before we established the taco stand, in that same little space, we were running a deli where we were doing prepared deli salads and desserts and things like that. And we just began selling wine. And my deli manager and myself had this idea that would be really cool to do a wine dinner and invite some of our customers and kind of promote our wine and promote our deli and, promote our capabilities. And he just had an awareness that the Manresa Castle wasn't open every day. You know, they were only working on the weekends. And so I approached the Manresa Castle asking them if they would be interested in leasing me, a Wednesday night where I could do this wine dinner. And then the counter offer was, why don't you just come and run the restaurant and just lease it, all the time? And so biting off more than I could chew, most surely, I took him up on the offer and ran the Manresa Castle restaurant, which we labeled the Castle Key Restaurant for about 6 or 8 years. I can't remember exactly, but...
Well, I believe time-wise you ran up against what is usually called the Great Recession.
We did, yeah. So the first year we got up there was a lot of opportunity. We didn't just do the restaurant. We also did all the weddings and events that occurred up there, which were many. But that really dropped off with the Great Recession in 2008, as did hotel travel and hotel business in general, which was a big part of, the clientele. Okay. It was more than just locals there.
So let's talk about where you are today with the company. It's called officially, I guess, Key City Fish, but you have a lot of meat too. So let's talk about what the business is today.
Well, what we are today, again, when we purchased Tom's Meat Market and then brought it all down to the warehouse facility, we basically became a meat and seafood company. And we ended out introducing the meats into our wholesale business as well, as I shared with Waterfront Pizza. And so today, we run trucks regionally throughout a good part of Western Washington, delivering seafood and meats to restaurants and markets, mostly independently owned throughout the area. And then, of course, we have our meat and seafood retail market, which is kind of a regional draw. We get a lot of locals, but we get a lot of, people from Kitsap and from out of the area that like Port Townsend.
I want to circle back to the pandemic a little bit, but let's just stay here for a minute. In terms of just a rough breakdown today, roughly what percentage of your volume is seafood versus meats?
It is about a two-thirds, one-third, two-thirds seafood, one-third meats. And that kind of carries off into wholesale and retail.
Okay, now let's talk about wholesale and retail. Again, let's factor out what happened during COVID, but what percentage of your business is wholesale and how much is retail percentage-wise?
It is probably closing in on 90% wholesale. Okay. As far as, raw gross numbers are concerned.
Okay. And, we talked a bit about the list. It seems like virtually all of the restaurants in Port Townsend are on your delivery list. Probably not 100%, but it seemed pretty high when we were talking about it.
We certainly do business with most of the restaurants in varying degrees in town. And so we're just, we have a lot of products. I believe we're very convenient and, the quality is fantastic. So,
yeah. Now, you touched very briefly on the Tacos to Go business, and that is just sort of to the side of the store. But I've been down there near lunchtime, and there's quite a crowd down there.
Yes. So when we originally set up that space as a deli kitchen, we were disappointed with the numbers that we were doing there. And so we had the idea that, let's do a taco stand. A lot of people said, you should do fish and chips. You should do fish and chips. But we didn't do fish and chips, largely because to set up a fry operation is a much more involved kitchen setup. Mm. which would make the outlay more expensive. But the tacos to go has been enormously successful. And the one thing I will say in on contrast to fish and chips is people will eat a taco almost every day. Fish and chips is like a once a week thing. You know, people aren't going to have fish and chips for lunch every day. And a good part of our business is working people in the port and near the port, you know, that come down
like
year round.
From the crowd. Yeah. How many employees do you have at this time?
We have about 30 employees at this time.
Have you been able to find good people?
Well, we have been able to find good people. It has been difficult. I mean, I think everyone has heard that that there's kind of a labor shortage. And so we have been experiencing that as well. It's been very difficult to build our team back up as, you know, as we're pulling out of COVID.
Yeah.
And so we do have a new person starting this very week, and he seems to be doing very well. But we are, interested in more people, so everyone can know Key City is hiring. So.
Okay, well, that's good news. Talking about looking ahead to the future, I know that you have some family as part of the business these days, and particularly your daughter, Rosa. Can you talk a little bit about what she's been doing?
Yes, Rosa is an amazing worker, and I'll just have to say it's such a fantastic opportunity to work with your kids as they, you know, as they're teenagers and move into adulthood. It's been a real blessing, and I really enjoy it. But Rosa has really taken into the business. She is our dispatch lead, and so that means she starts at 5 a.m. in the morning and organizes the trucks and invoices and makes sure that they're loaded properly and they get on the road, and then deals with issues as they come up throughout the day with those trucks, and then also, you know, purchases products for incoming, you know, makes sales calls for outgoing, and she's just a real dynamo. When she was young, she's small, but we always knew she was tough, so we used to call her Rosa the Bulldozer. And she's proving that here at Key City now.
Okay, well, it sounds like a lot of responsibility, but it sounds like she stepped up for it.
She really has. Yeah, she is, you know, she's only 26 years old, but she's got a lot of responsibility, and she's really taking it on. It's really fun to see.
So your son is not active in the business at this time, right?
No, that's not true. Actually, he is back from fishing. Arlo is a Bristol Bay sockeye fisherman, just had a blockbuster year, but he has been working off season in the last couple of years. And so he just came back to work this week also.
Excellent.
So he's back in the saddle. So great to have him back because he's such a good worker and such a knowledgeable worker at Key City, having again worked there so much throughout his life.
Yeah, well, it's good to have family-run businesses. I think everyone is all for that. Now, we're almost out of time, but really quickly, the pandemic hit you like everyone else. You didn't have to close because you're in an essential service selling food, but most of your customers, your retail customers, were shut. So how badly did it impact you?
Well, again, it was the wholesale customers, the restaurants in particular, that closed up. You know, we saw a major contraction in revenue, you know, down, closing in on about 40%. We got a lot of support from our retail community, and we came up with some ideas that really worked for serving the community during COVID. We also had other market customers that were also coming up with those ideas and doing quite well. And so we were able to stay in business and keeping people working. We got helped with the federal PPP loan program, the Paycheck Protection Program. And so that helped us keep people working. But it ended out, we ended up growing our retail business during COVID, which was something that hadn't happened for many years. It had been pretty static until then. It was pretty exciting. Yeah, we were pleased.
And now it's sort of in the rearview mirror, I hope.
Well, I love the idea that we are pulling our way out of COVID. Yeah, it's, again, a big part of our business and a big part of the fun of food is, celebration. COVID really kind of put made it more difficult
right.
for people to enjoy that kind of feeling.
Yeah, I can see how that would be true. It, difficult time for everyone.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So looking ahead, aside from working with your kids and enjoying that, any other plans for the business?
Well, we are exploring the idea of opening our own smokehouse. We've contracted with other smokehouses and continue to do so, but that's something that we might try and put together here in the next couple years.
Okay, that sounds good. So last question, because otherwise I'm going to get yanked off the air. Inflation, how bad is it hitting you?
Well, it is, I think in a certain, I mean, it's hitting us. Prices are rising. The thing about the seafood business that makes it a little bit more complex and difficult to recognize is as you move through seasonally, you'll see significant drops in price. I mean, especially right now, like sockeye salmon, $8.99 a pound. I mean, you know, these are good prices even last year. But as a general rule, we're watching prices, especially, you know, chicken and beef. And then as we move into the wintertime, we'll probably see that happening more and more with fish as well. So unfortunately, we're part of that. You know, we're stuck in that.
It's a difficult time. Yes. Well, I'm a big fan of your store. In fact, we're lifetime members. I just want to throw that in.
Excellent. We very much appreciate our members.
Yes. Okay. Well, John Paul, we're officially out of time. I want to thank you for being a guest on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been John Paul Davies, owner of Key City Fish. I also want to thank Sunny Flores, editor and producer of Our Town. Many of you don't realize how important the role of an editor is on a show like this. He can edit out a mumbles, errs, and even you knows, making us sound so much more elegant. In addition to thanking both John Paul and Sunny, I want to thank you, the listener, for sticking with us through COVID. We're pulling through it together. I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I sure hope so. Meanwhile, keep listening to KPTZ. We're a community radio station by and for the people of Jefferson County. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we feel this county needs a free local voice. We need your support, volunteers, and even donations. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. I'm signing off for today. But please keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Marianne McNellis and edited by Sunny Flores.